is an unknown, and sometimes you just say, well, I'll just deal with this thing that's not so great because I know it. It's like slavery was their old friend. In fact, later when they're in Israel, or in the wilderness, and things are a little bit difficult, just a little bit difficult, and they cry out and they say, they complain, let's go back to Israel, or let's go back to Egypt. Because yes, there we were slaves, but at least we knew what was for breakfast and what was for lunch and what was for dinner. Here we have no idea what we're going to eat. Disciples of Jesus, we could become so set in our ways. We can become so stuck that God needs to push us out to get us moving. And that's why for spiritual growth, often God pushes us a bit out of our comfort zone to get us moving. Spiritually, we tend to get stuck because we go to the same old thing. And churches too easily fall into old patterns. And they're not the greatest patterns, but they're the patterns we know. And we just get stuck in them, and we almost need God to push us out. See, because God won't let his church just stay where it is, but he'll take it into 2014 and beyond. And he will lead us forward. And so he won't just leave us stuck. And, you know, you think, well, things are changing. Think about for Israel. There was a time in the Promised Land where Abraham had all this wealth, all these flocks, and they took care of flocks. They were, you know, herdsmen. And then they ended up in Egypt. And in Egypt, they changed completely. They became bricklayers for 500 years. And now they're leaving Egypt, and they're going to become nomads, just traveling for the desert for years. And they didn't know it, but they at some point end up back in the Promised Land, and there they would set up towns again, and once again they become townspeople with now being farmers and sheepherders and, you know, banks and commerce. Things changed. And we have gone through a lot of change. Think of the 20 years from the 50s to 70s. I never experienced the 50s, so I don't know what it was like. I could just go by what I've heard, my imagination. But I was a child in the 70s. And I remember my parents had two cars. Remember when we got two cars, what a luxury. And my grandparents would say, why do you need two cars? We only had one car on the farm. We don't need two cars. And yet they also had a truck, so they had a truck and a car. And if we didn't have two cars, my mother was an at-home mother, my father, if you take the car to work, and then there was no car at home. So we got two cars. What a change. But think of the 70s, 20 years later, to the aughts. What changes have there been? The microwave, the computers. I remember when the computers first came out, it's like, well, yeah, you have one at school or at work, but who would ever want one in their home? Then we got them in their home, and I thought, yeah, you know, why do people need more than one in their home? And now we've got computers that are working, we've got computers that we used to use. I don't know how many we have in our home now. It seems like the speed of change is going faster and faster and faster. And it's like, wow, it's just moving so fast. What do we do? And sometimes you just feel like saying, you know, I know the past. I know how to function without a smartphone, without this, and I just want to stay there. You know, it's interesting in all this change. Generations think differently. And each generation has both its strengths and its weaknesses. If you are over 70 years old, you are what's called the builder generation. You're the generation that after World War II, you built this country, you built churches, you built companies. You had very little to start out with. You started out with scarcity and you built up so much. And that is a strong attribute of your generation. You're consistent. We can count on you. Now, every generation has its strengths and its weaknesses, and you know that in your generation there's some weaknesses, and maybe one of them is just saying, you know what, let's just stay there. Let's not move into any other new stuff. Then there's the 50 and 70 to 70-year-olds, and I'm in that generation. We're the boomers, the baby boomers. And what was true about our generation is that we didn't want to accept anything. We wanted to make everything better. You know, we were going to improve things. Now, one of the downsides of that is that we got to the point where we don't even really need God that much, do we? We can fix everything. We can make it better. We don't have to leave it the way it is, and we can do it sometimes without God. Then there's the busters, those of you who are 35 to 50. Now, not everybody in these generations are the same, but just generally these seem to be somewhat true. The busters are a group that was more concerned with community than the boomers. You know, the boomers really didn't care as much about community and longer relationships when the busters seemed to. The busters were more process people. And yet sometimes I have friends who are busters, and they'll say, oh, this is true. The busters seem to have kind of a bit of a chip on their shoulder towards the boomers. Then there's the millennials, 35 and under. And those of you who are older are saying, oh, yeah, we know the millennials. My kids are the millennials. Their first apartment, they are so concerned with decor. Our first apartment was old furniture. They got my wife and my old furniture, and the first thing they did was cover it up with covers because it was the wrong color. It's, as my daughter reminds me, the millennials are a generation for whom technology had been part of their life since they were born. She says, Dad, you're a technology convert. I'm a technology native, which is true. They're creative. And yet, they have their downsides too, as some of you know. Sometimes millennials, it's like the world revolves around them. Each of these generations think differently about things. You did this church health survey in November, and what's really neat about this church compared to some others is that you had a significant proportion from each generation. 7% of those who completed the survey were builders. 13% were builders, 30% were boomers, 27% were busters, and 25% were millennials. Now, that's not very common for churches. Most churches, millennials would maybe 2 or 3%. That's quite a unique characteristic of this church, that you have that large of a group of millennials. And sometimes those who are older, we get down on the millennials. But there was, in the Christian Reformed Church, there was a study taken, and it came out in 2012. And it's interesting that the millennials answered that they were, more than any generation before, they were interested in a church they could be part of for a lifetime and grow lasting relationships. You know, those of us who are boomers, if we don't like something, we just go somewhere else. That's the way we do life. The millennials were saying more so, give me a church I can be part of and I can stay part of and I can grow deep relationships in. And that is great. And so we should never say, well, my generation had it together and that generation, you know, they're to this or to that. And so here Israel is, they're going out of Egypt and Pharaoh has to push them out. All these different generations. And there is the shortest road to go. And they could go down that road. But on that road, there's some Egyptian fortresses. And God says, I can't take them down the shortest road because if I do, they will see those fortresses, they'll get scared, and they'll want to go back to Egypt. So I have to take them around the long way because there's no fortresses. Think about this. They follow the God who's done so many tremendous things. They follow the God who just got them out of Egypt through all these plagues, and they see one Egyptian fortress, and they're going to get, you know, weak in the knees and say, let's go back. But aren't we that way sometimes? You know, we forget about what God has done for us and we get into a bit of a pickle and we say, oh no, everything is wrong. I do that. Maybe you don't. Maybe I'm the only one who does that. And I have to remind myself, you know, that last time I was a pickle and I thought, this is disastrous, God came through in a way I never expected. And remind ourselves of that. And not just say, let's just stay here because, you know, this is more comfortable. We need to remind ourselves of God's strength. Remind ourselves that there were people who came to the prairie as pioneers, came to an area they didn't know. They risked so much for what we have. You know, I work with a number of different churches. And I was working with one church that said, you know, we'd like your help, but we want you to do it this way and this way and this way. We don't like to do this and this and this. I'm like, well, how has that worked for you in the past? Why are you calling for my help if that's worked so well for you in the past? You know, we get in this, I want things to be different, but I don't want to change. And that's not the way God would have us do it. It's kind of like someone who says, you know, my marriage has got problems. And you say, well, maybe you need to see a marriage counselor. Oh, no, it's not that bad. More, my marriage got problems, you know. Well, maybe you need some help. Oh, no, it's not that bad. We just, it's just so hard for us to move forward. And we, like the Israelites, need to remember that God is powerful, that God is good, that He's gracious, that He has our best in mind, and that even when we have difficult times, God is going to come through. Notice secondly here that they were to take the bones of Joseph. Do you imagine some young men who had no idea, they never met Joseph, and they got to carry these old, dry, dusty bones on their backs for 40 years? They're saying, why do we need to take those old things with us? Why don't we just go and leave those behind? That's part of the past. Leave the past in the past. But God told them to take the bones of Joseph because the bones of Joseph represented who they had been, how God had provided for them in a time of famine. And Joseph, who had become the second most powerful person in Egypt, the man who had been sold into slavery before, to be reminded of how they need to depend on God. If you read through the Old Testament, whenever Israel failed to depend on God, they got themselves into trouble. Whenever they were in a pickle and they said, okay, Lord, you do what you want, God did things in a strange way. You know, oh, here's this mighty Jericho. Walk around it day after day after day. What good is that going to do? Just do it. They do it and the walls fall. Here you're in the desert. Don't worry about food. It's going to come. Where's it going to come from in the desert? There's manna and quail. Now, on the seventh day, don't take any more on Saturday because there'll be some for you on the seventh day. Well, why? We need more. And so people, despite what God says, they accumulate more on Saturday and the day before the seventh day, and it goes bad on them. And when we forget who we are, as Christ followers, when we forget who we follow, we try to do it on our own. The results are not good. God, when He is taking you into a new season, He will build it on your strengths from the past. He always does that. Today I focus a lot on discipleship, and 30 years ago I never would have thought that would be the case, but I can see how God has been shaping me throughout life for this. There's one church that had a year of a number of untimely deaths. They were a small church, small Christian Reformed church. And at the end of the year, people were just so tired and so, you know, what can we do? We just have no strength. We had all these untimely deaths. And somebody heard about a blue Christmas. You know, the Christmas blues, everybody else is cheery, but somehow you just can't get cheery on Christmas. And about a worship service in December that would be for those who had big losses. And so they tried that one year and said, invite your friends, invite your neighbors who have had severe losses. And they did. And this church ministered to others who, for whom Christmas just wasn't as cheery. And that became something they did year after year after year. And so God took their pain and He used it for a new future for them in a way to minister. There's a saying, you need to go back in order to go forward. And that is so true. Augustine, a church father, said, how can you draw close to God when you are far from your own self? Grant, Lord, that I may know myself, that I may know Thee. St. Teresa of Avila in the 1500s wrote, almost all problems in the spiritual life stem from a lack of self-knowledge. And our own John Calvin in the 1500s said, wisdom has two parts, knowledge of God and knowledge of ourselves. They're interconnected. It's not easy to determine which proceeds and gives birth to the other. It's important to know ourselves, to know our joys, and also to know our difficulties. You know, sometimes we think, well, let's leave the problem in the past. I was working with one church, and there was such a problem with the pastor in the past. It was kind of like What's the books by Rawlings? You know, where he was the pastor not to be named. Nobody was to say this pastor's name. It was that bad. But look at Scripture. I mean, Scripture includes all these embarrassing things. Joseph, the great Joseph, who as a teenager flaunted in front of his brothers how great he was in God's eyes. David, great King David, in Scripture is very clear about the sins he fell into. And that's just part of our stories. We need to remember who we are. We need to go back in order to move forward. Remember and recall. Last part. Here, Israel is led by God. And God is in a pillar of fire by night and a cloud, pillar of cloud by day. God is going ahead of them. At times God moves forward, and at times he stops. And it would be sheer folly when God stops to keep moving forward. It'd be sheer folly when God keeps moving forward to say, you know what, I am just sick and tired of traveling. Today I'm staying in bed. And yet we do that. We say, well, either we say, let's go, let's move, or we say, no, let's not move. And that's not the issue, to move or not move. The issue is to follow God. And sometimes God says, wait. And sometimes he says, move forward. And maybe it's like Crossroads Fellowship is like Israel was, camped at Etham at the edge of desert. And it's tempting to just want to plow forward. But maybe the process right now is to camp there a bit, and we're going to do that this morning, and to think, you know, what has God been doing in this church, and what might that mean for the future? You know, it's not about what any of us wants. It's not even about what any of us thinks. It's about what God wants. It's about following that pillar of cloud and that pillar of fire. And so we're not going to be asking, well, what do you want and what do you want? What do you think we should do? We're going to be asking, what has God said about this church? So it's not about moving forward. It's not about staying the same. It's about following God forward, as Israel did, as we do in Jesus. Sometimes we wait and listen. Sometimes we move forward. This morning, if you're here and you're a stranger to Jesus, we want to let you know that life with God, life with Christ, is not perfect. It's not a rose garden. It's not all your problems will go away, but it's the best life to live. You can depend on him. And if you're here and you're a friend of Jesus, maybe not a real close friend, but a friend of Jesus, we want to invite you to depend more deeply upon God into some of those scary areas of life, to not shut him out. Maybe you're a close friend with Jesus and you need to go deeper. Maybe you're even closer to Jesus, as Jesus would describe, the kind of person who will die for him. And you need to go even deeper and reach out to those who need to come to that place. This morning, as a congregation, a few moments, we're going to move to these tables, and Nate will give some instructions on that. And I just want to invite you, if you at all can, to stay. There's going to be lunch even after a bit. But it's going to be a wonderful time of thinking about the health of Crossroads Fellowship. Some important thinking, some camping at the desert, some looking at the cloud, some remembering the bones, and also that there'll be some scary times ahead, but God has been there and will be there. Just invite you to join us for that. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, as things change around us out there in this world, it's so good to know that when things are confusing, you are consistent. That we can depend on you. That even when we find you confusing, you are faithful and you do come through. Lord, this morning, just may we see that in the health and the life and the future of Crossroads Fellowship. Amen.
All right, a few announcements this morning. The first one around Sunday school. Sunday school is going to take place in a couple minutes, and it will go the same length of time and be done at 11:15. So Sunday school will be done at 11:15. At that point, we will have something for the kids to keep their attention until lunch, at which point they will join their parents for lunch. Sunday school teachers, after Sunday school, please come out here and pick a table, join a table, join a discussion. We want your input as well. For those of you that can remember your table from New Connections, go to that same table number. For those of you that can't remember, it was the month of your birth date. And if you can't remember that, see me afterwards and I will just give you a table number. If you want to go with your spouse, pick a table number, sit at the same table as them. If you want to split up, that's fine as well. I will touch base with the junior high and senior high to get some folks to help supervise kids for a little while. And then we are going to take about a 5-10 minute break, so grab a cup of coffee, come in, sit down at your table, meet those at your table, start talking with them. There will be a table leader, either somebody from the congregational renewal team or council to help you as you start your discussion. Are there any other announcements that anybody needs to make? Any other questions, please ask. If there's anything that you're not clear about, I'd love to try to clear that up. Otherwise, again, a 5-10 minute break, grab a cup of coffee, come sit down, and Mike is going to lead us through this process.
Would you stand? Don't move quite yet. Stand, but don't move. As we move in this time of application of this message to the life of Crossroads Fellowship, or if you absolutely can't be here as you move into this week of living with Christ, may the Lord our God bless you. May He keep you. May He smile upon you, may He be gracious to you, and may He give you His peace. Amen.